I think it's going to be like four Sundays, counting this one, so three more, which is going to be related to the topic of peace. Okay? It will be really interesting. We're going to start today talking about the inner peace, the inner spiritual environment. Then the plan is to go and move forward. Check. Hello. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay, so let's start praying. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity and this time and this moment. Thank you for the word that we're going to preach today. Thank you for the revelation of that. Thank you because I know this word, it will be blessing us. It will be transforming us. It will be ministering our life in a big manner. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare that you're going to be here with us all the time, like always, and you're going to speak, not me. I'm just the vessel. It's just you talking and speaking to the church, like you also speaking to my life, so that way we can be blessed through your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Okay, like always, let's start with something. This wife asked her husband if she can have a peaceful and calm cooking moment in her life when she was doing the dinner. And he said, sure, honey, let me remove the battery out of the smoke detector. So, we're gonna talk about peace. That's why I like to share that, because we like the peaceful mind and calm mind, right? But the thing is that we are already pre-configured, pre-set up, pre-made about the word of peace. We always think like peace is going to be like no war, no conflicts, no fights, no harms, nothing like that. We always thinking like peace is going to be maybe freedom, that peace is going to be a calm and tranquility environment in your life. But really, when you're talking about a spiritual environment of peace, it's a different story. And I like to start going through Philippians 4, because in Philippians, you will see something really interesting that God wants to show us today about the peace. And today, we will start talking about the surpassing the understanding. That will be the first topic that we like to share with you guys in this series. Philippians 4. We're going to start with verse number 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The first point that I want to talk about is going to be, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. That's the first principle that God is showing us through his Bible, through the word, explaining, do not be anxious. And when you think about anxious, it means like uncertain outcome. You don't know what's going to happen, and that's creating anxiety in your life. You don't know what's going to happen in your life, in the future. You don't know what's going to happen at work, in your new movement, in the new life, in the new wife, in the new whatever. And that's creating anxiety in your life. And that anxiety is also creating some distractions, which that's what God is trying to help us today to be more focused on what he wants us to be focused, which is his word and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the whole kingdom of God. That will be helping us to be more in control, more certain on the outcome. Because whatever is going to happen in your life, it doesn't matter. The outcome is going to be the same if you are really focused in Jesus Christ. But when you're not focused in him, then what's going to happen? Anxiety. Anxiety is coming in your life. So if we go to the first Luke 10, 38, 42, I like to go over there really quick, because in that scripture, we will see some good principles that Jesus Christ show us over there. Luke 10, I'm not going to put it in the screen, so you can just go through your Bible. Luke 10, 38, 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted. By all the preparations that had to be made, she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Don't be distracted. Focus on what he already told you that we need to do. The church needs to be more focused on what God is telling us to do. The church needs to be more in line with God's vision. It doesn't matter who's going to be here. It doesn't matter any pastor or anyone. The church needs to be more focused and not distracted with anything that is happening outside or anything else. That will remove the anxiety out of your life because we are giving to God all the control. Amen? Also, Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your minds on things above, not the earthly things." Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about anything else. If you really, your heart, it is really in line with God, with Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about the outcome. Everything will be fine. I always say this, sorry that I'm be too repetitive with the same thing, because I understand I'm living in a body like you, and the body is telling you something differently. The body is telling you to not be in trust of God because you are facing stuff outside here in the world, and that's creating that uncertainty in your life, in the outcome, and that will be creating anxiousness in your life. That will be creating distraction in your life, and now you will not be focused. Sounds simple, right? But that fight against the flesh and the spiritual environment is a daily thing, unfortunately. But you will have the victory if we really focus in Jesus Christ. When we go to the second point or second principle that is talking in this same verse, it says prayer and petitions. Matthew 6, 5 through 8, we know the prayer. It's showing over there how we supposed to pray. Jesus Christ explained everything over there. But it's really interesting also in 1 Timothy 2:1 and Ephesians 6:18, it mentioned that with all prayer and supplication, pray at all times in the Spirit for all saints, for everyone, for every man, for your neighbor, for everyone. That will be helping you removing the anxiety out of your life. According to that verse, if we go back to that verse, 4:6 of Philippians, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but," it's telling you the solution to remove the anxiety out of your life, "but in every situation that is creating anxiety, that is creating a distraction in your life, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And it's not just a simple prayer. It's with thanksgiving. You have to be grateful. When you go into prayer, thanks God for this blessing. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this time. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for my neighbor, for my coworker. Thank you for my wife, for my kids, for everyone. Thank you. Thank you. We're grateful because we know that you will do the miracles. We know we trust in you. We have confidence that you will do what you need to do to make your will happen in our life. We trust in God when we're showing him that in prayer. I always say this. When you are in prayer, a really strong prayer, it will be a prayer with the Word of God in your life. I'm not saying that you are supposed to just pray that way, and that's the only way that it's going to work. God knows your heart, and He will hear your prayer. He knows before you start praying. The Word says that. But when you get that little touch of citing or saying His Word, it will be more powerful because it's His Word. It's not your Word. And when you are praying, stating His Word, He will pay attention and say, I'm not a liar. I already say that. We write it in the Bible. So I have to be, or I have to make that happen because I say it. I'm not a liar. And this son, my son, is praying, stating my word. So when you're stating His word, God, your word says this, that you're going to heal me by His wounds. By this, you're going to heal me. It's His word. He said, yeah, I say that. I'm not a liar. Let me make it happen in his life. Who say amen? That's the blessing. That's the delight, the great pleasure, gratification when you see that in your life. When we go a little bit back to the story of the whole Philippians, pay attention to this. Paul, he was in prison when he was stating these words, which is really like, what? When we go back to Philippians 4, I'm going to start from the first one. It says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they are contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Interesting. He was in prison. And he was this different mindset, which that's the mindset that I believe God is trying to implement in us right now. That whatever the outside is, the exterior in your life, it doesn't matter. As long as you have the heart that God wants you to have, it doesn't matter. Inside of you, you will be rejoicing. You will be happy. You will be successful because you're trusting in the Lord. You're trusting in that. It looks like Philippians was going through a situation because when we go back to, let me go back to the first one, chapter 129 says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now here that I still have. So it looks like Philippians, they were going through some issues, some situations. And now Paul is telling them, hey, I'm in prison right now. I'm writing to you. Rejoice. Have fun. Enjoy this. This is amazing. What? Because the most important part of all this Christianity is the inside part of you. Your heart, your mind, your thoughts. Inside of your soul. That's the most important part. That's the thing that God is trying to save right now. Your soul. And that's the struggle that you are having against your body, your flesh. But God wants to continue building us and create a successful person in our life. Psalm 143:1, it says, Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. How you will pray, telling the God that you love, in your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Like I said before, saying his word. He's not a liar. Pay attention. This is when it gets really good. Like Rudy says, he'll love it. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Okay, we know already those things, those principles. Now, it's telling you what is going to happen. When you not be anxious because you are praying, when you're feeling that distraction, that you're not focused, then you are praying, then this is the blessing that is coming to your life. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding or surpassing all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I want to stop over there because it's really interesting. Understanding, your intellect, the thoughts, the feeling. By implication, it means the meaning in your life, the main purpose of your life. This is what's going to happen inside of you. God will send his peace in your life as long as we go in prayer and talk to him and create that relationship with him to remove the anxiety. As long as you have the anxiety in your life, peace are not coming in your life. You need to go in prayer to remove the anxiety, and the peace of God is going into your life. And that peace of God, which we will talk that one in another sermon, is not the same peace of the world, like I explained before. It's the real peace that God is providing to you, that it will be amazing in your life. This past week, it has been a little bit, a lot of some things for me in my life. I'm going to tell you just one story out of, I think three, right? Like three stories happened this week. But I'm going to tell you just one. Thursday, we are celebrating a birthday party at home. As you, some of you guys know, I have my family over here. Right now, it's just my mom and my dad at the moment, but my brother-in-law, he already left. So we are celebrating a birthday party. We have my brother, his wife, kids, my sister. My sister come with her dog, and then I decide to just walk with the dog. Yeah. So I start walking with the dog. I did it a couple times before. And this time, I decide to go through a different route, not the same one before. And when I go with the dog, from nowhere, I think I always say that a car just passed or something passed that it didn't allow me to see what's going to happen. And then from nowhere, when I see, I have two dogs over here in front of me. No leash, no adults, no collar, nothing. You know the end of the story. So I with the dog, I saw both of them, and I say, I look right away and say, I don't see any adults, I don't see any leash. What's going on? One of them, it was kind of quiet. The other one, it was really mad, showing teeth, barking, really mad. So I grab my sister dog, put it in the back, stay in front of the dog, say, no, no, stay away. And then the other dog start like looking, I don't know, maybe for playing, maybe for fight. I don't know what thing the dog that I was carrying, he was looking for, whatever. So I keep fighting with that and keep saying the dog no. So when I see that he's not focusing on me at all, he was just focusing on the dog. He want to bite it. He want to do something bad. So I say, hey, no, no. And he was not focusing on me at all. So I grab the dog. I put it on my chest. No, no. Then this one start moving to try to get out of my hands. Walk out of my hands. And then I did like a spin with the dog. I pushed the dog with the leash. So the dog start flying. Okay? So I start flying, and then I'm in front of the other dog again and say, no, no, get out of my way. Cars start stopping, pushing the horn. And then in that moment when the dog was coming back, the dog that I was just, you know, carrying and then flying, that moment when he's coming back, then the other dog grab it in the back. Now it's already done. It's already there. what I'm going to do. So I have a couple options. I can let the dog go, and then he will try, or she will try to defend. But then it will be complicated, I think so, because then they can blame me, because now it's going to be hurting the other dog. And I say, well, it's already done. I'm going to just keep her over here, and I'm going to start trying to deal with this dog that is already there. And just grab it and not let it go. And I start shaking, and then, unfortunately, I don't have any other option. I start kicking the dog in the face to try to remove the bite or remove it out of there. Maybe like kicking number four, he went off. But then he left a really big piece of chunk of the out of the dog, unfortunately. I get the dog, I went back, and then everyone was asking me, are you okay, are you fine? Yeah, I'm fine, but the dog, I don't think is fine. So one of the lady called 911, cops show up, emergency responders, everyone show up. The dogs are, they were just running over there, and then the cops went after that dog and then get the owners and everything. But then the dogs try to come back again. So I have to grab the dog, I went back, and then say, hey, stay out of my way. So then he just go back, and then that was the end of the story. What I'm trying to explain here related to these is that that's the same thing that the peace is gonna do with you in your life. Because when you read this verse, number 7, it's saying, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. So the same concept that I was trying to do with the dog, which I was trying to guard it and protect the dog, the same thing the peace of God is gonna do with your life. It's going to guard your heart, it's gonna protect it. It's really interesting when you go to Proverbs, in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Your heart is the most important part in your body, in your life, for God. That's why God wants to get inside of your heart, inside of your thoughts, your emotions, your soul, so that way he can transform that, and that way you can be in control, God will be in control, and that way you can see the success in your life. And the same thing is gonna be with the peace of God. The peace of God will be covering you, will be protecting you, it will be like a sentinel, protecting, guarding your heart. But in order to do that, you need to remove anxiety out of you. And how you remove anxiety? Praying. Giving the control to God. The third principle that I want to share with you guys today, it is in verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, which is the third principle, think about such things. Start thinking about those things. Start being focused more on those things. Anxiety is going to be out of your way. But in order to do all those things, we need to be careful how we're going to process all the information that we are receiving in our daily base. It can be news, it can be situations that is happening in your life, it can be the way that we grew, anything. We have to be careful and process all those things in our life, in our mind, so that way we can be successful. That way we can receive the peace of God. Verse number nine says, whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. See the interesting thing over here. First of all, the peace of God will be with you as long you remove the anxiety with the prayer. Now the peace of God will protect and guard your heart. Then you can start thinking and those such things like the excellent and praiseworthy things that are happening in your life. Anyway, something negatively, you have to see the positive thing of that. Like, for example, in that situation, at the first thing, I was a little bit discouraged. It's not my dog, it's my sister. It happened in my hands. So I feel responsible. I feel bad. I feel sad. But God have a purpose always for anything. Anyways, negative. Anyway, God have a purpose and a blessing inside of anything. Always have that mindset. Change that. Whatever is lovely, whatever is noble, true, anything, think about those things. And see this principle. When you apply those three things, then the God of peace. Now we're talking about God. He be with you. He will be with you. He will be with you all the time. But we need to understand those things. Now when we know and learn about what peace means, which is coming from an original word, which is really interesting. It means bind with prosperity. And prosperity is not money. The word of God says that he wants you to prosper in everything. As such, your soul prosper, right? So the same thing. He wants you to be prosper inside of you, which is being successful against those attacks from the enemy, to be successful against all the things that is happening in your exterior, in your life, all the negative things. It's easy when everything's fine, right? It's nice, comfy, everything is nice, easy, fine, we're good to go. And we say, oh, I'm in peace. But what about when the things are not quite right? When everything is like wrong and outside, a lot of trouble, a lot of situations, a lot of things against you, conflicts. How you're managing those things? We as a church, how we are managing those things? Are we staying together? Are we supporting each other? We need to have that mindset. If we have that mindset, God of peace will be with us. Paul's life offers an example of putting his instruction. Whatever he passed through, whatever he went through, which is, again, he was in prison. He sent those letters saying, trust the Lord. Be confident that he will be with you. He will bless you. He will be transforming you as long we believe in those principles in our life. Peace is not absence of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means. Ronald Reagan. Whoa! Okay? So that's the principle and the blessing that God wants to show us today. How we can manage those conflicts in our life and staying believing in his word, praying in him, and blessing everyone through the prayers. The peace of God will be in your life. It will be transforming you. It will be converting you and take you to the right place of his will and purpose in your life. Amen? Amen. In this same manner, I want to continue moving forward with the communion. With the communion, which I will also share with you guys later, with the Prince of Peace, we will learn about how the peace of God is coming in our life with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. With the communion, it's pretty much applying the same principle. Now we have peace because we have someone that died for us. He offered that. We have it. As long as we believe in his blood and we believe that his blood is healing us, is cleaning us, and he is as a substitute of us for the sins. And now we're receiving that blessing. And today, like all the first Sundays of the month, we are celebrating the communion, remembering what he did for us. When we go to Corinthians 24, it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Pay attention to that. Before he broke it, he gave thanks. So let's have a thankful heart today, and before we move forward we've broken the bread, thanks God. Thanks Jesus Christ for what he did for you and for me. And that will be following what is the principle in Corinthians 24. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Amen. So God is blessing us with this moment, with this time. And we praise the Lord for doing this in remembrance what he did for us. Never forget, he died for us. And we have the opportunity to be in his presence right now because of Jesus Christ. He's by God right now, interceding for us because what he did, that's why he's sitting over there right now, because all the sacrifice that he did. And we're doing this in remembrance of him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this bread. This is the representation of your body. And we are breaking it, giving you thanks. Thank you. We appreciate everything that you are doing in our life. We appreciate everything, Lord. That's why we're serving you. That's why we're trusting you in you, Lord. In this morning, we worship you. We declare that the Holy Spirit, it is with us right now in this moment, blessing us. And it is with us at this moment, blessing every family here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we also bless this cup, declaring that this is the type of your blood cleaning us, purifying us in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for this blessing, for this moment. Amen and amen. Eat and drink. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for that moment. We believe it in you. We are here waiting for the second coming, for the moment of your glory. We are here because we believe in you. We believe in everything that you're doing. We believe in every word that is stipulated in the Bible because we believe you inspired those men by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we worship you. We praise you. Thank you also for your word, for that blessing, for that moment, for that time. We declare that you will be implementing that seed in our hearts and that we trust in your word and the peace that you are providing to us. And we as a church, we believe that we're going to apply this word in our life. Whatever is happening, that word will become life because we're trusting in that word. And your peace will guard our hearts and also will guard this church, to bless this church and to continue to the purpose that we have, which is the peace of God, which is the prosperity in our life over here, being successful, being in be unite over here, unity, and bless everyone, bless the family. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare that your glory, that the Holy Spirit and the angels from heaven will be here also with us all the time, continuing improving everything that we need to improve based on your will and your purpose in our life. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, church.